that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the gospel of Christ.
Just before I say anything else, I was joking before, I haven't done the Christmas joke. Do you want to see the real Christmas joke? Do you want to see the real Christmas joke? The first PowerPoint slide. If you weren't here yesterday, we had a children's service, which was a Narnia theme. That was put together by Chris Farr. That's the thing that deserves a clap. But they wouldn't let me see it until an hour before. The sad thing about that, the saddest thing I found about it, is that after talking to me for about 2 or 3 minutes, my wife told me it made me look younger. Can anyone think why? Any guesses? Pardon? That's offensive, Ryan. But absolutely right. For those who couldn't hear, apparently I was wearing a wig which hides my grey hair. Isn't that depressing? It's supposed to be Christmas. Can anyone tell me who this is? Not that. Not that. That was Mr. Tumnus. Next slide, sorry. Can anyone tell me who that is? I'm talking to the youngsters. Can anyone tell me who that is? No helping from parents or grandparents who want their children to look the brightest? Josiah or Bethany? Is she right? Let's check. Yes, there you go. Prince George. Okay, we got the Prince George. Can anyone tell me his full name? Any of the youngsters tell? If you tell me his full name, I'll give you a prize. I can see you whispering, Carolyn Wheatley. Josiah, I'm sorry, but you're null and void on this question now. Cheating has occurred. Can anyone tell me George's, I call him George, George's full name? Elaine? Sorry, George? George Alexander Louis? What's his last name? Windsor. Is that right? I don't think that's quite right. I'm going to give you a prize, and because that was very good. George Alexander Louis, the house is the House of Windsor, but I think the royals don't always have to use surnames. Apparently you can do that if you're a royal. But I think if they use a surname, they actually use Mountbatten hyphen Windsor. Is anyone nodding for me there? Well, they think that's right? No one is, but I reckon I'm right. Anyway, that was very good. Now, does anyone know the date that George was born? No one. Does anyone know the royal family here? He was born on the 22nd of July. Isn't that interesting, though? We've got someone who was born, who's probably going to be the king of us at some stage. No one knows his birthday. We're talking about Jesus, and the whole world knows his birthday 2,000 years later. Isn't that interesting? Now, we've got George, who's going to be a king, and we've got Jesus, who's born, who's going to be a king. I thought I'd do a little comparison between the two this morning. So, does anyone know where George was born? If you don't know, have a guess. Hospital. Yes, it was in a hospital. Very helpful this morning. Yeah, Carolyn? St. Mary's Hospital, Paddington, London. Well done. That's probably worth a clap. You should get out more, Carolyn. What's that? That's totally right. In the Lindo wing of the St. Mary's Hospital in Paddington, London. You really need to get out more, Carolyn. What about Jesus? Who knows where Jesus was born? Wasn't born in a manger. Yes? Yeah. A stable? The Bible doesn't actually say stable, but we think stable because of the manger. The manger's an animal's. But where's the place that he was born? Yeah. Bethlehem is exactly right. I've been told, I went to Bethlehem, but it's changed over the years, but I've been told that Bethlehem was a bit of a dump back then. I was trying to think of a modern day equivalent in New Zealand, but I didn't want to say anything and offend someone. So can someone tell me a place you'd never want to live? Ryan Jackson said Invercargill. Not me. He said Invercargill. Anyone else got a place that they'd see as a... Gore. Ryan wants to offend more people. He's now said Gore. But Bethlehem was like that. So you've got a difference between where Prince George was born, which is a hospital in London, one of the major cities in the world, and probably a stable in Bethlehem, which apparently is the Invercargill of the ancient world. Where do you think George, Prince George, was first laid once he was born? I don't think we know that. Carolyn, do you know this? No. I don't think anyone knows this. But I reckon it would be something like that, except better. There'd be royal insignia on it or something like that. Where was Jesus first laid when he was born? One of the youngsters tell me? Yeah, Tennille? In a manger. What is a manger? Yeah? Exactly right. A feed trough to feed animals. There's a kind of sample-only one there. What do you think Prince George was dressed in once he was born? Laura? Royal clothes? I think you're probably right. I don't actually know what he was first dressed in, but that's what he wore for his christening, and that's pretty grand. What was Jesus dressed in? Anyone know? Any of the youngsters? Yeah. Right. Flags. Oh, rags. Sorry, yes. Rags. Totally right. Strips of cloth. Can you put that up? Yeah, there you go. Does anyone know what they did in New Zealand to mark the birth of Prince George? What was that? 21 gun salute. Let's see if that's right. Correct, Jared. Well done. What did they do in New Zealand for the birth of Jesus? Not a lot. Not a lot. Who were Prince George's first visitors? Does anyone know this? Carolyn, do you know this? Oh, possibly. I'm talking about real, actual people who visited. Who were the first? Have a guess. Nathaniel? Hospital staff. Probably right. The first official visitors were Kate Middleton's parents, who are Michael and Carol Middleton, closely followed by those three. So you've got the royal family going to visit him. Who were the first visitors to see Jesus, the king? Shepherds. Let's have a look. I don't think it was actually him, but a shepherd. Now, do you see the difference between those two births? Now, I don't begrudge what happened to George. That's exactly what you'd expect when a king's born. For him to get that kind of treatment, born in the major city, born with kind of important visitors coming to see him and all those sorts of things, which is what you expect that for a king, which is what makes what happened to Jesus so surprising. He didn't seem like a king. But that's what the angel said when he was born. Have a look. When Jesus was born, the angel said two things about Jesus. Have a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." So the angel says two things about Jesus there. First, he's a Saviour. He's someone who saves. Secondly, he's Christ the Lord. And Christ the Lord is a title. It's a bit like saying, "Your Royal Highness." It's saying he's king. And yet, he was born in Bethlehem, which was a bit of a dump. And he was laid in a feeding trough. And he was dressed in rags. And he had shepherds come to visit him, not royal visitors. Doesn't sound like a king, does it? But why did Jesus do that? He did it to show that he was becoming one of us. That he, who was God the Son, was coming down to be lowly like you and I. He gave up the glory of heaven to come down to earth to become one of us so that he could save us. One day when he'd grown up, many years after he was born, Jesus put it like this. Can we put that last slide up, Alex? The Son of Man, Jesus used to speak of himself like the Son of Man. Instead of saying "I," he said "the Son of Man." The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the kind of king he was. Not coming so that other people could serve him, but coming so that he could serve them and give his life as a ransom for many. That's what we're going to remember in a couple of minutes when we share communion. We're going to remember that he came not in the glory that he deserves, not making the demands that he's actually owed, not telling others to do what he has the right to tell them to do, but to serve us, to give his life as a ransom for you and I. He's the servant king who gave his body and blood so that we can be forgiven. And so can I ask you this Christmas to remember that Jesus is the greatest king of all time, and he's going to be the king for all time. But he came humbly to show us how much he loves us so that he can save us. Please remember the greatest king of all time, Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, it was a great joy for many people when Prince George was born earlier this year, and there was much fanfare around the world. But in very different circumstances, all those years ago, the great king was born. And we're so thankful for what that means for us. We're so thankful that he is the king who came not to be served, but to serve and to be our saviour. And it's a privilege and a joy to be able to rejoice in that this morning. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, if you'd stay seated, Aaron, Miriam, Kate and Lauren are going to perform an item for us called Glory to God.